Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I am MTG Peddler.
This is Onik.
And this week, we got some special guests with us. They are nominated for an award, which is for their website, and they are the creators of the Curiosity format. I'd like to welcome Nathaniel and Zach. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Oh, thank you. I'm so happy because like us being nominated, award nominated, this podcast is also award nominated, and it just feels great to finally be with people on our level.
I always love meeting people that are like the women I like have very low standards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
that's how I see our award winning program. I'm like, yep.
Yeah. It's I mean, the way we think about it really is just, we're just blessed to be on it, you know, to get to the finals is just like, wow, that's unbelievable, right? There's no chance we're going to win anything. I think we already won just by, you know, having JJ put it out there that, hey, these guys exist. You know,
we're definitely going to win. Yeah, like, hands down, no easy dubs. We've looked at the competition and
everything else is trash.
I've been unable to sleep. I've been laughing so much. At their websites. Our website just so golden.
It's CuriosityMTG.com. It's the best magic website ever built. And if anyone else has anything to say about that, they can come fight us.
It's funny because I'm nominated outside the podcast as an individual creator. And I'm like, clearly they've never seen my content if they think this is award winning.
That's correct. Peddler, which is a co-host for the podcast, right, is nominated for New Content Creator of the Year.
Clearly, they've never watched my show.
And Peddler, you just got to manifest that win.
Yeah.
You got to manifest it in the world.
Like that movie, The Secret? You just got to use power of suggestion, right?
It's actually kind of funny. John like mentioned it like 2 weeks ago again for the first time in a while, and I actually forgot about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot all about that.
Sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com. And you can save 10% by using the promo code on your whole order, TCC2021. Also, the program where they're buying back your singles, and they'll give you an extra 10% cash on your whole order. Partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group and Cosmic Gaming Community. Starting us off this week.
Yes, this week we have page one is going to be card of the week. And this week we are talking about Fast Bond. And I am currently looking out the alpha version. One green for an enchantment. You may put as many land cards into play as you want each turn. Fast Bond does one damage to you for every land beyond the first that you play in a single turn. With beautiful Mark Poole artwork. What do you guys think of Fast Bond?
I feel like this is the rule that I played with when I first played Magic. You just dump your lands into play.
How much is it currently going for, by the way, price-wise?
Near mint is $4,100 for the alpha version. Whoa. Shipping is free.
Okay. I'm looking at one. Free. I don't know which version this is. Okay, revised edition, near mint. I don't know which site it is, but $28.49.
Hey, why would you want that garbage? It's white-bordered.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, white-bordered is disgusting.
In cube, it doesn't matter if it's white border or not.
I would gladly pay that extra, 7,000% for my black borders.
Same.
Oh yeah. What do you guys think, Nathaniel, Zach? What do you guys think about Fast Bond?
I have no clue. I don't play Commander.
Doesn't even take me back to Commander. Takes me back to when I originally played the game back in '94.
I also want to iterate, if I'm using the right terminology here, that this podcast covers every format. We're not just Commander, by the way. It's the name's the Cryptic Commander, but we cover every format.
I guess I think this card deserves to go right into the trash bin.
Okay.
I look at the artwork.
How much strong opinion?
How much, Peddler? How much does this card cost?
$4,100.
$4,100 right into the trash can. Outside, let me get my PO box. Hold on.
G player.
I'll give you my PO box. Hold on.
It's the kind of artwork that like a parent would put on their refrigerator until the kid moves. out for college, and then by that time the sun has completely, you know, destroyed all the color in it, and the parent is finally like, it finally looks good because I can barely see it.
I gotta say though that the Vintage Masters art, it looks a bit more refined, kind of like the kid is actually taking some art classes. However, nothing against Mark Poole, but Niles Ham is hitting it.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Niles. Niles, if you're out there, you just need to know that you are the better artist of the Fast Bonders.
I got myself curious now. I'm trying to find it in Summer Magic.
I've had one experience with this card. It was my friend Ogre, which, you know, started out helping me with the podcast. And he pulled out this deck where he just took your turn, you know, with Mindslaver. And it's just some kind of infinite loop was going on. This card was in that deck. Just everything he could do, man, was taking control of your turn and killing you, going to the next person, taking control of their turn, killing you. You know, it was horrible. Horrible experience. But strong card.
By the way, the Fast Bond in the Summer Magic art is way, way better.
How much does it cost?
Oh, there's no price on this. Are you kidding me? It's Summer Magic. It probably costs like about $10,000-$15,000.
Right.
Isn't it the same art? Or is it just a coloring?
It's the saturation difference. Yeah, same saturation. Artwork, but the saturation is beautiful. It's how it's like supposed to look.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really good in Summer Magic. But yeah, I would guess it'd probably be like $10,000-$15,000 card in Summer Magic.
For the fact that it costs one green and how strong it is for just one green, you know.
I could definitely see this at like, you know, now that you guys have been talking it up a little bit, I could definitely see it at like a middle schooler's like first art show. You know, Mark, if you're listening, you know, I hope that the 30 years or 25 years or whatever since you've painted this, you've gotten better, and I'm sure you have. So,
makes the best lands out there.
I literally have all five of the unhinged or unglued lands on my wall right now. So,
Did the unhinged.
Mark Poole's done a lot of artwork in this game, and we had what was his name? The last artist we had on, because we've had a couple of artists on the podcast.
Solomon Young.
Yeah, Solomon. RK Post, I think, was the last.
Oh yeah, that too.
So yeah, RK Post. I asked him, you know, about the artwork and the digital art and this and that. He goes, you know, what's coming back is the hand drawn art. Is what's coming back.
I think we should go all digital, all Hushbringer style artwork. I think that's really gonna keep Magic alive.
I'm digging the cartoon artwork. Look at the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon one. I'm waiting on He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, I can definitely see that. That'd be all right.
It would go good in my cube. I make a He-Man cube.
A topless guy cube.
Yeah, absolutely. All
topless guys.
That'd be sweet.
With one, I did make a girl. With two clothed girls, right? The girl in He-Man, and on She-Ra also is a spinoff. So,
I did try one point to make a shirtless tribal commander deck with all pictures of dudes without shirts on.
Almost as good as the all mustache commander deck.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there also a like all sitting commander deck?
Sounds right.
I mean, there's like a commander deck for all of everything, right?
That's right. You can have a commander deck just for doing taxes.
There's a commander deck that is just a commander commanding the commanded.
Wow. Did you say mustache deck? Did you say mustache deck?
Yeah, it's all the cards have to have mustaches or a character with a mustache on them.
So I hope you get altered lands with guys with mustaches, right?
I didn't say I own the deck. I said I know it exists. You guys know my hatred of Commander.
I think Curious is going to come out a lot in this episode.
Aren't forests just the mustaches of the world, of the earth? So there you go.
I would agree with that statement.
We should move on to movers and shakers.
All right, movers and shakers for the cheaper pickups. These cards have been going down lately. First, starting off with Vendilion Clique, about $10.10, slowly trending down. After that, we got Cauldra Complete, slowly trending down about $8.09. And then a more recent card, Xanathar, Guild Kingpin, about $6.07. As far as the cards that are moving up, it's pretty much a tribal week. In third place is like three cards mentioned, pretty much anything having to do with werewolves, which is not really much of a surprise. They've got three cards listed here. Mayor of Averbrook, Duskwatch Recruiter, and Cruin Outlaw. They've all gone up about 80% on average. That's pretty much all in third spot. The second spot, Meat Hook Massacre, up 128%, at about $45 right now. I had no idea this card was this expensive. I knew it was popular.
You said number two, right?
Number two is Meat Hook Massacre. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I know this card's very strong. I didn't know it was gonna be like $50 strong, but
yeah, it's a very good card.
Oh, yeah, I know it's good, right? Yeah.
And then number one, again, it's like a 3-4-5-way tie. Pretty much anything having to do with the zombies, which is again no surprise. They've got Gravecrawler, Rot Hulk, Plague Belcher, the Scarab God, which is not really a zombie, but it makes zombies. And speaking of zombies, Undead Warchief. Undead Warchief is by far the number one, and they're up by 1,476%. This uncommon is about $13.
Now, hold on. I love Undead Warchief, but Noxious Ghoul is my favorite zombie in the whole wide world. Noxious Ghoul. When I saw Noxious Ghoul for the first time in action, we were just like, wait, this is stupid. You know, stupid good. You know, if you guys don't know what Noxious Ghoul is, Peddler, are you familiar with Noxious Ghoul?
Not at all.
I know you're familiar with Undead Warchief, right?
I mean, I'm looking at it on the chart.
So I'll go ahead and read off Noxious Ghoul. Hold on one second.
I got it pulled up if you want it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Whenever Noxious was a three black, so five mana, zombie, of course, 3/3. Whenever Noxious Ghoul or another zombie enters the battlefield, all non-zombie creatures get -1/-1 until end of turn. This came from Allegiance, and now it's about $4 or $5 as an uncommon.
Yeah, so I'm surprised this one's not worth more than what it is.
I'm pretty sure this was like maybe $1 or $2 before. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't look it up on our normal statistics either, you know. But just knowing that Undead Warchief went up, case in point, this card, in my opinion, is stronger than Undead Warchief.
Yeah. But I think every zombie deck wants an Undead Warchief. It's absolutely just a generic.
Absolutely.
Your zombies cost less and they're stronger.
It goes back to, you know, because I'm an old school player, it goes back to something like Timberwatch Elf. You look at this card as an example where, you know, it costs 1 green, 2 other. It's a 1/2 body, I believe. You tap it and give any target creature +X/+X until the end of the turn for how many elves you control, I believe it is.
Yep, elves on a battlefield.
Okay, on the battlefield. So it's your opponents too, right? So yes. Some cards do this and some cards don't. But my point is, it was the go-to card for quick interaction and response to for that ability until they came out with Imperious Immaculate Magistrate, okay? Which almost did the same thing as Timberwatch, except for it was elves you control, but it gave you +1/+1 counters instead of an in-turn ability. So this right here, in my opinion, just like Immaculate Magistrate, it's better than Timberwatch Elf. So when you look at an elf deck, you're like, every deck needs a Timberwatch Elf until a point this card replaces it, right? And then the same case point here, when you're like, you know, every deck's going to want an Undead Warchief if you're playing zombies. Mm-hmm. Hey, if Uncle John's around, he'll be like, hey, it also needs Noxious Ghouls too, you know? So maybe everybody just didn't get the memo, you know?
I'm pretty sure other tribal cards are going up too. Like other humans, other... oh God, what are the other Innistrad tribes?
Well, Noxious Gearhawk's going up too.
Yeah, that's another... Is this a zombie? No, it's a construct.
I think it's... Let me look. You're right. Okay. But it is going up. But it is going up, though.
Are you thinking of Grave Titan, maybe?
I think it's Grave Titan, yeah. All the zombies are going to go up, though.
Yeah. But yeah, that is Movers and Shakers. And then moving over to arena updates. There's a bunch going on. I think the biggest thing would be the Find Your Champion, which the Worlds is coming up in a week from today. So in a week, we'll have a new world champion, or he's on the 9th or the 10th, but they'll be playing it that weekend, or next weekend, rather. And everyone has an opportunity to go to MagicTheGathering.com, find your champion thing, choose one of the 16 participants that you want to root for. Just pick any of them, type in your email address that's linked to your arena account, and the better your champion does, the more prizes you'll get. You're guaranteed to at least get one rare wild card. Or sorry, not a wild card, but a one rare card, whatever that may be. I got lucky last time, or I can say I was knowledgeable enough last time to pick Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa.
Yep.
He won it last time.
Yep. Yeah.
I picked my champion this time, Arnie, the German.
Okay.
We'll see if we can go for two for two.
I picked Autumn Burchette last time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to pick Paulo this time, though. And if somebody out there is listening doesn't know, Paulo's won a lot of current championships.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think everyone can agree that he's like top three best Magic players of all time.
I was going to say in the top 10, but yeah, top three is where I would really go with it. But yeah, to be on the safe side, you know, he's up there, guys, you know. So if you don't know who to pick for, if you don't know who to pick, go ahead. Yeah.
I just think the best player ever to exist in Magic the Gathering is mm-hmm. the first Mythic Invitational champion, Andrea Mengucci.
Mengu. Yep. Italian.
Who has just the most fantastic stream that I don't watch because it's in Italy time. and hates on American food, which is hilarious. Makes me giggle every time. And just has so much pizzazz. Like he's a little like he has so much energy in such a little tiny person. Like he's, you know, like he's a firecracker kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of guy I want backing me up in a fight because he'll really root me on. Yeah, exactly. But I think like the biggest beef I have with this is it just goes back to for someone who plays Arena like 40 hours a week or 20 to 40 hours a week, like you have to go to a different. You have to go to the website, put in your arena email, you know, the same email, like you said, and mm-hmm. and like it's one of those things that takes you out of Magic and video gaming in general. Like it's not like this is the first like company that has done something like this. Right now, PUBG's doing it, Valorant's doing it, League is doing it, like, and it's always in the game. And Magic the Gathering, Hasbro owned, probably has a little bit more money than some of these other companies. Yet, it's just, to me, it's just like a very silly trash system that that I would expect out of like a smaller game that I play, like an indie company.
You mean like a small indie company doing it?
Yeah.
Arena is held together by duct tape, bubblegum, and staples.
And I will say this too, hold on, that with Magic and all of its money, PUBG is still a by far better product, by far.
Yeah,
and it's like the world's smallest company, and PUBG is so good.
Yeah, and PUBG is not even as popular. anymore. Like, I mean, I just watched a tournament today because I really like the esports in that game, and, mm-hmm. and they are also really good at creating stories in esports. Like, you know, just, I mean, that's another thing that obviously Wizards doesn't understand, but
and quality control.
It's just so bizarre. Just so bizarre. Why? Like, I play Magic the Gathering, and I clicked on this while I was playing, and it popped up a website, and I said, I want to play Magic. You know, I want to do two things, very simple. You know, two clicks in the app, and then go and continue to play Magic. I don't have the desire to go to a website, click a thing, type my thing, and no matter how long it takes. So I don't know. Swords, okay. I think's gonna win.
I think I voted for Seth Manfield because, like, he's always so chill and ready to go.
Go ahead with the arena updates, Onik.
Yeah. Quick Draft is up for Innistrad from the 1st to the 15th, and after that, from the 15th to the 29th, Quick Draft of Forgotten Realms. You got a few other events coming up. Like, the main thing is next weekend is the World Championship 27 Showcase. The 9th and 10th, you also got the Qualifier Weekend if you've previously qualified for the Mythic Invitational. On the 16th is the Arena Open Day 1, which is standard, which would be really interesting to see if the format shakes up with the World Championship. Maybe we'll get a ban, maybe not. I don't think so. That's really about it. Don't forget that Innistrad Crimson Vow is about a month and a half away. We're scheduled to release November 19th. And then after that, we have Innistrad Double Feature, which is scheduled to release around January 28th. Which is pretty much two sets in one. And yeah, that's pretty much it for arena updates.
I do want to let the listeners know that I was successful in getting a hold of Wizards of the Coast and having mm-hmm. them change my... Onik, you probably saw this, right?
Yes, I did.
Change my name on the bottom left-hand corner to The Cryptic Commander. So I'm looking forward to being on Twitch more and YouTube a little more with the arena games and helping people learn more. So be on the lookout for that. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from word from one of our sponsors, we're going to talk more with Nathaniel and Zach. We've got some questions for them. Be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. Peddler, you got things covered for the next few segments here.
I do, as I'm choking on my beverage. Hold on.
Yeah. 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 Beverage of choice. What's your beverage of choice right now?
This is strawberry banana juice.
Sounds delicious. You guys are.
It is lovely.
Yeah. You guys are not hip to it, man. That sounds really good, Peddler.
It's refreshing. It is refreshing.
I've got part of source of banana.
Some Coca-Cola.
Strawberry cucumber La Croix.
Oh man. La Croix.
Before we continue, Onik, I figured out what the mystery Mountain Dew is, by the way.
I'm actually drinking a Mountain Dew Code Red right now, so I can't say shit either. What flavor is it?
It is cotton candy and Mountain Dew.
Ew. Okay. Now that you say that, I probably won't drink that anymore.
Do you fucking want diabetes that goddamn badly?
So here's Jesus. The thing.
I've already had two kidney stones, and I'm going for number three.
Here's the thing. I like Mountain Dew. I don't drink it, right? I like Mountain Dew as a product, and I like the cotton candy Faygo soda, okay? Mix them together. It is not good. It is not good. Onik seems to like it. I don't know. It's not good, dude, at all. It tastes like black licorice.
Hey, black licorice can be okay.
Black licorice is amazing.
I love black licorice, but I don't want to drink a soda black licorice flavored, you know?
The Mountain Dew has this new drink called, like, Refresh or, like, Wake Up. And I don't know what it exactly is called. It's like they had Kickstart a few mm-hmm. years ago that was like drink Mountain Dew in the morning, and then this one's like this equals two cups of coffee, whatever it's called, and it's only 15 calories a can, and let me tell you, it's bombastic.
Nathaniel, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be here all day until 3.
I saw a billboard somewhere that literally had LeBron James holding a can of Mountain Dew, but I didn't know what it was advertising. It might be that new product.
I think what Nathaniel was trying to talk about was the energy drink Coca-Cola they came out with a couple months back that's not doing so hot.
No. This one is Mountain Dew flavor.
Oh.
The Coca-Cola energy drink, I always had like it was like Energize, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, Vitalize,
I think.
I got one, and because I love drinking out of cans.
Sure.
I love cans. And that's why I haven't tried a lot of the new Mountain Dews, because they're in bottles and I just don't like drinking out of plastic bottles. It just doesn't feel the same. It
doesn't taste the same.
Yeah, it doesn't taste the same at all. It doesn't get that coldness, you know.
It doesn't give you the dew.
Yeah, I want the dew. Are we sponsored by Mountain Dew?
That'd be cool.
God, I hope John, not. You gotta get sponsored by the dude. Yeah,
come on. Let's do the dude.
Ugh. All right. So moving on to top decks. This time we're gonna start off with standard. We have Mono Green, Is It Dragons, and Is It Epiphany in the top three, with Rogue and Class Unclassified dropping down position to number four. So we are actually starting to see a meta start to form.
Oh, the meta's there.
In standard. It is there. It's right. Just there's still just a lot of jank floating around. So Rogue and Unclassified is hanging on there tight. But, you know.
Yeah.
For modern, we have Is It Spells, Green White Company, and Rogue and Unclassified. Into Legacy, we have Blue Red Delver, Death and Taxes, and Elves, Five Color Elves. Moving on to Vintage, we have Mud Stacks, and then we have Bug, which is blue, black, green, and Underworld Breach.
That was Vintage?
That was Vintage.
Yeah, Vintage, they don't call it Sultai. They go by old school Bug, Rug.
Right,
bug.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Bug Control. I remember those days. Yep.
Moving on to Pauper, we have Burn, Mono Black Control, Black Blue Fairies. And I don't go by the and stuff like that. I go black blue when I see colors. I don't care.
The guilds and clans.
The guilds. That's the word I was looking for. I don't go for that.
You're not going by the like schools from Strixhaven. You're not a Prismari gang.
I blaze my own trail.
You dropped out of school.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I actually did. I did drop out of school. Thanks for noticing.
You got it.
Moving on to Commander, we have Lathril, Omnath, and Atraxa top three, which I believe is no change from last week, if I remember properly. And moving on to last but not least, Pioneer, we have Boros deck wins Spirits and Mono Black. That is the top decks of the week. But I noticed that there is one format on here that is not brought up, and that is the Curiosity format. Does anyone know about the Curiosity format in this chat currently?
No, I don't know what is it about. Can someone tell me?
I do. I know about it, but I'm going to let these two guys tell us about it.
Because I literally know nothing about it. So
they're the creators. These guys right here. Yeah.
Talk to me like I'm a 4-year-old.
Yep.
Are we supposed to talk to you differently than we have been talking?
You dropped out of
class, no. Basically, keep the same pace. Yeah. Keep the same pace, yeah.
Well, so, yeah, Curiosity is the most affordable, the most accessible format in Magic. We play it on Arena, and the rules are very simple. I'll just go over those briefly, because that kind of gives you the idea of what the format looks like. Again, we take the most recent set of standard cards, and you make a 40-card minimum deck. Within those 40 cards, there are rarity restrictions. You must have two singleton rare or mythics, and you must have six uncommons with a maximum of two copies of any one uncommon. The rest of your deck is filled out with commons, up to four copies of any one common, and then unlimited basic lands. We also have an 8-card sideboard, without rarity restrictions, but in games 2 and 3 of your match, your deck must meet the rarity restrictions. And if your listeners want to get a visual of what those rules are, they can go to curiositymtg.com, which is our award-nominated website.
Yeah, and a great thing about Curiosity is both Zach, Nathaniel, me, and Alex, our third partner in crime, we stream on Twitch a lot. I'm twitch.tv/the_ita. Zach is twitch.tv/swordsandstatutes, and Alex is twitch.com/themanasultan. It's a very chill format. We get together every weekend and we play, and Zach and I cast it, but then during the week we have just like open like gameplay, either if you're watching Zach or my stream, like, and you're wanting to play a game, there's a good chance that we'll play. And then Zach and I, every Tuesday, we just brew random decks in
Brews Days.
Brews Days.
If you guys don't mind me, I have a few questions to ask you guys.
Oh, ask all the questions. Away. We want the most time on this podcast, you know? Mm-hmm. So the more questions you have, the more we get to talk. Yeah.
I really wish I had more time to go to the fan base for this podcast and ask them if they had any questions for you guys. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So to make up for it, I did grab more questions, and hopefully the guys here, something might stir up to where they might have an alternative question as well.
I got a question, don't worry.
Sure. Okay. Where did you guys get the idea to start the format?
Well, so Nathaniel, you can correct me here, but back in around June of 2020, Nathaniel and I had both been streaming for a little bit and wanted to do something like where we could kind of do like weekly events. And I think Nathaniel pitched the idea of doing, I think you originally called it like Jank Wars or something like that, but the idea there was doing like perfected draft decks and kind of like pitting those against each other. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of shelved that idea, and then I found something on Reddit that was more or less that. We reached out to the people who were doing that. We talked about wanting to do some of that using only M21 cards, and we're told that we were not doing what they were doing. So instead, we just said, all right, well, screw it. We'll start our own format.
Yeah, we'll just go ahead and... That way we get to kind of come up with the rules of how we like to play. A lot of it is actually based around our community Discord. We have, folks who are, who go into like looking for a game chat and they play games, and then people playing have the option to just like talk to their opponent when they're in games, like matched up.
You do have a Discord right now currently for this format.
Right. And that can be found on the website, curiositymtg.com.
And so there you go.
Yeah. That is an award nominated website.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Just
yes,
can't
yes.
forget about that.
That's right. That's right.
So Discord also award nominated?
If it's not, it should be.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. There's always room for next year as far as the Discord. I have another question, maybe two or three. When you look at Magic the Gathering, which, of course, this is a Magic the Gathering podcast, you look at Magic the Gathering, and the game was created because when Richard Garfield went back to the guy that was like backing him up, he said, look, man, I like the idea of this game you're talking about, but can you build something else that, and Richard's like, yeah, we'll build this card game that's portable. I think the other guy was talking to Richard about, and they created Magic the Gathering, right? They wanted to call it Mana Clash originally. And then it was played for the downtime and other organized events, right? Now, another format it within the game Magic the Gathering was created just the same way, which is Commander. We originally called it EDH, right? It was just played casual game being played in between rounds of competitive games. So where I'm going with this, where do you see the Curiosity format in 10, 20 years?
Non-existent.
Yeah, I might be dead in 10, 20 years.
I think when it comes down to it, it's a format that is supposed to be chill, right? And I mean, not necessarily chill, but it's very constraining. And in 20 years, Zach and I won't be streaming. I don't think that. I just don't think it will be. You know, 40 card formats that aren't draft are non-existent.
And you guys have so much to your disposal. What those guys didn't, EDH when it started was really just word of mouth. When I heard about EDH. I know it started in 1996. I heard about it in 2008, I think it was. So, and when I talked to Sheldon Menry, which is people consider to be the father of EDH, you know, he told me on this podcast that, well, that's about right, because that's about its heyday when it really got really popular. So going to the Curiosity format, you guys say it's a casual format, correct?
Yeah, it's meant to be something where... it's something where you play on Arena. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to make people break their budget having to craft a ton of rares or anything. Mm-hmm. So, and also the fact that it is limited to only one set lends itself to a more casual thing or a more casual atmosphere as well.
Okay.
However, so there are people who take it very seriously. There are a couple folks who played who have been playing for a couple seasons now. Mm-hmm. That perfect decks and sort of iterate on them every week.
Like actual kind of like teams where they'll all bring the same deck.
Which we're kind of hinting around where I'm getting to my question is, what do you guys think of if this becomes a C format? Like CEDH, what if there's a C?
It already is a C format. It's a curiosity. So
yeah.
I understand that. I'm saying what happens if it becomes competitive curiosity that people out there love it so much. Now it's getting bigger than what you anticipated, right?
I mean, that's it to me, like that's kind of a built in. So one thing that's really cool about curiosity is since we do seasons, right? So today we, you know, just a few hours ago, we wrapped up our first season of Midnight Hunt. Our first week. So basically, how you get at the end of the season, we have a top eight, and we have a tournament. So each week, the more games you win, the more points you get. So you go to the top eight. I think that if it gets more competitive, and we have more people assisting, then like with the organization structure, I guess, like the behind the scenes, then we've talked about in the past doing like you get seated in a league based on how well you've done. So if you're doing awesome every week, then you know maybe you'll be in like the varsity league. And then if you haven't played or you're not playing often, then you'll be in the junior varsity.
And something else here to sort of jump off of Nathaniel's points. Yes, that there are people who take it very competitively, but we have built in some structures within it to keep things fresh and also allow folks to join casually and still have a chance. So we have a suspension banning structure where
I was going to ask that too. If you ever ban or restrict certain cards,
yeah. Well, yeah. Adventures in the Forgotten Realms really tested us with that, and so now we've changed our banning rules to where the rares and mythics of the winning deck are suspended for the following week, and once they are unsuspended, if those rares or mythics win in a subsequent week, they are then banned for the rest of the season. And the goal there is, again, we're not trying to kill entire archetypes or anything like that. It's just to keep things fresh and keep people on their toes. And additionally, we've done this two seasons now where we, whoever has the top seven season point earners, they are automatically in the finals. But that eighth seed, we allow for anyone who has played in a season to compete in something that we call the Big Oozer and compete for that eighth spot. So if someone joined in week eight of a season, they're not going to have enough points to qualify for seeds one through seven, but they're able to play in that tournament to get to that eighth seed.
It's kind of like a wild card sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like football or whatnot.
Okay, great. Because I was actually going to ask, one of the questions I had written down was about a ban list. Now, I'm really glad you added that in there. I have one more question before I'll hand it over to the boys.
I would like to just go off of that ban list thing. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, hypothetically, so we do start our season normally. Now, it's going to be a little bit different for Midnight Hunt, Vowel, and double creature feature or whatever it is. So the season, this season's going to be a little bit weird. But so we start 2 weeks off. So we get to take 2 weeks off, which is great for us since it is on a Saturday. But the thing is if you play like Magic, even like super casually, like Arena, like maybe you play like 1 hour, 3 hours a week, if your card gets banned, you're probably going to have a lot of the, at least one of every rare, or in, you know, so it's not like four of your wild cards are gone. You know, at max, I think we've had 2 rares in a season get banned. So,
which cards? Yeah. I'm curious.
So, again, on curiositymtg.com/the rulebook,
which is an award nominating website.
Award nominated page. We mentioned the cards that were that are banned. So like for instance, in Kaldheim, got banned. For Ikoria, we banned Zenith Flare. And for AFR, again, that's what sort of pushed us to make our suspensions a bit more proactive. We ended up banning 3 cards. Those were Inferno of the Starmounts, Ebon Death, Dracolich, and actually Shambling Ghast, which is the only common that we've banned.
Interesting.
I have one more question for you guys. They, Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro, so basically Wizards of the Coast, has come out with products like Commander Legends. Commander Legends is, you know, of course, it's going to be geared towards a format Commander. Also, though, this product is draftable. Okay. What would you say if they actually came out with something for the Curiosity format in real life? And would you also have any thoughts and opinions on if it would be draftable?
I mean, I think we're due for a better drafting system anyway, or a different like that's always been my beef with draft is you have a limited pool, right? So, you know, if you're drafting, let's say 8 or 16 people, you have a bunch of bad cards, right? And everyone, in general, has more cards that are not more cards, but they have 10 cards, 15 cards that are just not so great that they're not going to play for their deck. Like, they could be good cards. They could have rare drafted. I think, like, with Curiosity, how I get a lot of my ideas is from drafting, right? So I draft on Arena, and then I delete cards or add cards to make the best deck possible, like the best draft deck. So I definitely feel like in a trading card game, the fact that there is no trading during a draft is bad. I think that people are going to try that. I draft
in real life. In real mm-hmm. life, I draft, and I think there's trading involved. I'm actually.
Isn't that illegal?
No, trading's not illegal. When you sit down and you have to sacrifice the rest of the cards because you're going to pick one out, you know, to build your deck with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trading.
You can't trade to someone else.
You could trade at local game store. Yeah.
Somebody, and then they play. You play the card that they gave you.
Oh, we would trade in a draft.
Yeah.
We are on the same page. What I'm saying is, I have to take a card out, right?
Yeah.
I have to sacrifice the rest of that pack. So in essence, I am making a trade. By the time that pack gets to me, it's going to have fewer cards, right? Maybe even one card if there's a lot of people playing. But yeah. I am trading these 14 cards for this one, or these 8 cards for this one.
Well, I guess what I'm talking about is we have all drafted,
right?
Or are done whatever to get our cards,
right?
And then I have cards that I have in my possession. Packs are all opened. Drafting has ended, and I say I don't need this blue card. Does anyone have a red card that would be that I can put in my deck? And you can take my blue card. So we can make, both of us can make more powerful decks.
You can do that after the game's over with, if you're drafting on a game for prize support or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I feel like in for that tournament, mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know, I think that that's kind of like a different format that definitely is something that it hasn't been supported by Magic, like Wizards. That is a completely different style of gameplay.
A side note, I was not going to ask that last question, by the way. That was my last question. I hope they were good questions for you guys.
They're great.
Onique, you got questions for him? We lost Peddler.
This whole thing sounds actually really interesting to me, mostly because he actually do run tournaments. You can say like an aspiring tournament organizer. I've run a few tournaments. The most recent one was the I did a Brawl tournament, historic Brawl, with like, and I had 67 people in it. For your
congratulations, that's legit.
Thank you. For your leagues or what would you call them, leagues? You call them seasons, right?
It's called seasons.
How many people do you have currently for the Innistrad?
Well, today we had 18 people play.
Okay.
And something too. We've been doing this for over a year now, and we're pretty quick on our tournaments. I think today it was just over 2 hours, and we only do 3 rounds. So it's something where if you have a Saturday, it's not like you're going to an FNM and having to be there for 5 hours and having to text your wife, be like, oh darn it, I'm still here and I'm winning.
Yeah. Is it Swiss?
Yes, Swiss best of 3.
Okay.
And all of our tournaments are free.
And like that's a part that I guess when I go to FNM, they start, actually my store starts playing Standard again next week, so I have to make a deck. But you know, if you bring trash, yeah, you'll probably lose your first game. But your next 2 games, you'll have, you know, it's Swiss, so you'll play players that are on your level. And so you don't, like, bring a bad deck and then constantly lose 3 games in a row. Unless mm-hmm. unless you're the ooze. And then, you know, you just are the ooze for the season.
Can you change your deck entirely for the next week?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, with the bannings, the person who wins the week, our crowned cave dweller, they obviously can't play because they're the same deck because their 2 rares are banned. But in this format, since you can only have 2 rares, We just had this week, the deck that won, it's going to be hurt by the rares that are banned, but those can be switched out. The core of curiosity really lies in your ability to synergize your commons with your uncommons.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say to sort of piggyback off of that. Sometimes I'll post about the format on Reddit, and often people will say, "Oh, well, this just seems like it's all determined by the rares," and that is absolutely not the case. It is a very if you can't get your commons and uncommons in order, then you're just going to lose. It doesn't matter what your rares look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which two rares got the banning this time?
It was
Stowaway Seagrass or whatever. Stowaway something.
Suspicious Stowaway?
Suspicious Stowaway and Patrician Geist.
Yeah, there was a mono blue spirit deck.
Yeah. So next week, those two cards cannot be played by anyone?
By anyone.
Okay.
But then in week three, they're back in the pool.
Okay. So if week three, those two same cards or one of the two cards are at the top again, are they permabanned at that point?
Permabanned.
Yes.
Okay, this sounds actually a lot of fun. This sounds like what you really hope to happen as you do a traditional or a regular draft. Like, I want to get this synergy, mm-hmm. and you fall short of it. You're like, ah, damn it, I wish I had this extra card. Well, with the curiosity format, you can.
Yeah, yep. No, that's a great way to look at it, where and even like this week, people tried something and they realized, oh, well, this uncommon doesn't really work. Well, next week they know what to switch out and keep iterating to make it the best that it can be.
Yeah, or you find an opponent who uses an uncommon or a card that's like, oh wow, I never thought of it using it that way. Mm-hmm. Let me try it next week.
And especially with the bannings, like I'll let you know that by week, I forget when we banned Shambling Gas last season. It might have been week 8.
It was week 6.
Week 6. So week 6, we banned Shambling Gas, and everyone was excited because now the format is completely fresh again. And that's kind of like what we like about like this format, is with the bannings, with looking at the cards, and since you're not losing $1,000 because you're switching out dual lands, you know, like if a dual, you know, like whatever card gets banned, you're not losing anything but a wild card. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like encouraged to brew, and if you're not good at brewing, you're encouraged to play test with people, and it kind of creates its own community in mm-hmm. because of that.
When do your tournaments typically start? Like what day of the week?
Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
I want to quickly put out this piece of information before we go over to Beginner's Corner, which is the last segment. Brian David Marshall was in the news. Am I the only one here that knows about Brian David Marshall?
The name's familiar to me. That's about
I know the name. I know isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's not. He's not in the Hall of Fame. But he is important for Magic the Gathering. So he's responsible for what we know as organized play. So when you do a quick Google search, just, you know, Brian David Marshall, I'm going to get closer to the mic here.
You go to jail? Is that what we're going to say?
No. So
is this Brian, juicy data?
Brian David Marshall has worked in all areas of the American comic book medium for more than 20 years, from retail, editorial, writing, and creating a new title for Marvel Comics. Brian was a founded partner of Malibu Comics, a comic book publisher in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Numerous properties that passed through Malibu's doors have been made their way to big screens, like most notably the Men in Black franchise, and featuring Will Smith. But that's just a little snippet that's on a Wikipedia for Brian David Marshall. But me knowing who he is, you go back to some old footage, he'll be an announcer. He'll do the deck tech videos with some of the pro players at the Worlds tournaments or whatever. But again, I just know that he put together what we know is organized play. So we've talked about him a couple times on the podcast, and he's agreed to come on the podcast. We just haven't set up a good date for that to happen yet.
Nice. The second best guest on the podcast.
That's right. I bet Zach he doesn't have an award nominated website.
Yeah.
Which is a good segue over to Beginner's Corner. We lost Peddler. One second.
I guess Zach and I are now officially part of the podcast. Thank you so much, guys.
This is a
great opportunity. We're very excited, and we won't let you down.
Onique, we still got you, right?
Oh, no.
So this is the new... Okay, so for a new segment, I've got Leroy's musing. So Leroy is my cat. He...
One thing that we failed to mention is that so Team Cat runs Curiosity, and one of the things that we really wanted to do with our team was be able to give back to animal shelters because we all love our animals. And at the end of each Curiosity season, during the coverage streams, we accept donations for the winner's local animal shelter. So whoever wins the season, they get to designate a local animal shelter that whatever money that we earn that day goes to. So far, I think we've earned almost $500 this year
and
been able to donate that to shelters in Canada and Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Peddler, he's got like, I don't know how many cats, 7 cats or something like that.
Wow.
I've got 4 dogs. So that hits my heart. I won't let you know that hits my heart. I do know the Cryptic Commander. We're going to soon do an event with other content creators for a cancer relief benefit program.
Nice.
So stay tuned for more information on that. Onique, I know you're in the room here. Hopefully you can get the gear back on to talk with us. But we're going to go ahead and go over to Beginner's Corner. And this week, choosing your first format. What kind of advice can we give to beginners for choosing your first format?
Don't choose Commander because there's too much to learn. Go play either Standard or Draft. Probably Standard because there's a limited card pool.
What do you think, Nathaniel?
I mean, if you're just starting, regardless, Arena, because you are only going to lose your time unless you want to spend a lot of money. You'll get a little bit of learning, but I think like going to stores and playing in an FNM is very important. I think if you find a store that fits you, like I'm very lucky. There's probably like 20 stores within 30 minutes of me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I first started playing Magic, it was during Exelon. And someone came up to me and was like, hey, this deck would be really good if it had Vraska's Contempt. And I was like, cool, yeah, I'll get one. They're like, yeah, it's $15. I'm like, sweet, $15 for 4 cards?
What do you think?
They're like, no, that's 60.
What do you think, Onik? What do you think about this question?
Yeah, so my opinion, my fiance was here. And real side note, I'm not going to be here next week because I'm getting married.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. The best format to start off with is either, I have two things, either the one with the smallest card pool, so you're not overwhelmed with too many options. So either limited, such as Draft or Curiosity, or Standard. Or the other option is, the friends that you talk to that play Magic, talk to them, because any help that you get from them will guide you into the format a lot easier. They can help you out with pretty much any questions that come up.
About Jumpstart. I actually have eight packs of Jumpstart that I play with my brother. He doesn't play Magic.
Yeah.
He knows Magic because of Jumpstart, and we just whenever he comes to town, we play some Jumpstart.
I think Jumpstart is going to be like the new introduction set. Jumpstart is great. It's not, I don't particularly like Jumpstart to play with it, but I think it's a fantastic product.
On my final note on the subject, I want to say that if you go to your local game store, if you have a local game store, they usually have these free decks, F-R-E-E, that they give out to starting players. I ask about those and sometimes give them to people that just start out. Also, the pre-made commander decks, if you hear about that format, which on this show you will, those are, in my opinion, a good deal to go with also. It's going to depend on your play group. And guys, I really want to thank you again for coming on today's show. We're running out of time.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us. Oh, absolutely. And we wish you luck with your award-nominated podcast.
Well, we wish you guys luck with your award-winning website, you know.
And format.
Yeah, this format.
Yeah.
This format is definitely made me curious, and I couldn't wait to get you guys on this show, for real.
Well, hey, we just need y'all to come play.
Sunday at 4 o'clock
Eastern. Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Saturday at 4 o'clock. Just kidding.
I'm going to write it down. Hopefully, I don't lose it within all this paperwork here. As far as listeners, let me go ahead and let them go real quick. Everybody, thank you for staying till the end of today's show. Keep a lookout for our 100th episode coming out real soon. I just got word from one of our partners, Cosmic Gaming. They're going to give us $100 worth of product to give away for the 100th episode. So
nice.
It means a lot to us. Also, our other partners and sponsors are putting together other big boxes to give away. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on YouTube. Until next time, keep spell slinging.